Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sukkah's daf Mem Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zecher Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. And we are continuing from yesterday's Gemara. Yesterday we started the Mishnah about a Rava. The Mishnah and a Rava were back on Mem Hei, a little bit behind. We're back on daf Mem Hei, and the Mishnah and a Rava spoke about the mitzvah that occurs in the Beit HaMikdash. As we've noted already a couple of times, the mitzvah of a Rava is not located in the Torah. The Torah talks about the mitzvah of lulav. Yes, with a lulav you have to take a rava, it's part of the dalet minim, but a rava is a self-standing mitzvah, so there's no reference to that in the Torah. So the Gemara recorded a couple of opinions. Either it's a halach l'moshe misinai, and that's it, and then the day is done. Or maybe encrypted in the pasuk is a reference to the arava, the mitzvah of a rava. The pasuk says arve nachal, it says in the plural. And so maybe there's a mitzvah of a rava vis-a-vis lulav, and there's a mitzvah of a rava vis-a-vis the Beit HaMikdash and the Mizbeach. The Mishnah recorded for us a couple of practices, minhagim, that surround this arava. So they would go and they would encircle the Mizbeach once a day. On the seventh day of Sukkot, they would encircle the Mizbeach seven times a day. While encircling, they would say, Ana Hashem Oshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. And Rav Yehuda added that they would also say, Aniva Ho Hoshiana. And yesterday we explained, we cited Rashi yesterday, we cited Tosos yesterday, in terms of what exactly Rav Yehuda meant by Aniva Ho Hoshiana. And then as they left the mizbech, they would say Yofi lecha mizbech, Yofi lecha mizbech. So they would say your beautiful mizbech. They would sing praises to the mizbech. Rav Elazar added that they would say to Hashem and to you the mizbech, La Hashem and to you the mizbech. And the Gemara is going to point out, and we'll see the Gemara later on this morning, that that's a little bit strange because basically it sounds like we're putting something together with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that of course is not, but we'll see later on that's highly questionable. How about Shabbos? Nothing much changed on Shabbos, meaning the way they did it during the week is the same way they did it on Shabbos. But the Mishnah pointed out that on Shabbos you can't clip the Aravos on Shabbos, so they would clip it before Shabbos, and then they would keep them in some sort of golden tubes, keep them fresh, and then the next day they would take them out in order to do the mitzvah of Arava. And then finally, Rav Yochanan Broken, the Mishnah, said that they would also bring palms as well into the Mizbeach, and we'll discuss that as well. And then the Mishnah concluded with a strange minhag that took place, and that is that on the seventh day of Sukkot, after the children were finished with the lulav and esrog, so the adults would take the esrog away from the children and take a bite into the esrog. And it's a strange minhag, it's a funny minhag, and the Mishnah doesn't explain why that is. But what we're going to discuss, hopefully later today, is the question of muktzah. And isn't the esrog muktzah? So that's something that's going to come up later on over the course of today. We're starting with the Gemara. We're in Mem Hei Amud Aleph. We're starting with the Gemara right where we left off yesterday. Tana Makam Kalanya Hava. So where do they go to get the Arava? So the Mishnah described they went to Motza. Motza also goes by the name of Kalanya. Okay, Kalanya sounds a lot like the English word colony. Okay, but okay. In other words, it was a place somewhere outside of Yerushalayim. V'tana didam haitama karele Motza. Okay, so the real name of the place is Kalanya. So why is our Mishnah giving a pseudo name to this town? So I did a mepik mikarga de malka karele motza. So the Gemara says, well, it was for whatever reason, it was a tax exempt location. It was not bound by taxes, so therefore it's called motza. Motza means to basically get out. So in other words, if you want to get out of taxes, so you found a safe haven in this town called, well, the real name is Kalanya, but the name that was given, the pseudonym was motza. Okay, and why that's important for us to know, I don't know. Meaning, obviously, is there a connection between that and the fact that they got the Aravas from there? I'm not sure, but all right, that is the Gemara. The Gemara continues in Vayim Vazokven Osa B'tzidei Tana. We learned in a Braisa Rabos Varukus Ugvos Echad Asar Ama. So they were long. These Aravas were particularly long. Now it's funny, we talked about the mitzvah of Arava just the other day, and we spoke about just the other day. Let's call that yesterday, and we spoke about what's the shear of Arava. So we're right for the mitzvah. So we said yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara yesterday said on Mem Dalet Beis, well, the Gemara doesn't even give a height. And Rashi pointed out, doesn't have to be any particular height. And then in terms of the number of stalks you need, so we said one. In terms of the numbers of leaves it needs, so we said only one. So it didn't, the Arava for the Mitzvah of Arava didn't seem to be that rigorous. Meanwhile, well, the Gemara is now going to quote a Braisa, and we leaned the Arava against the Mizbech, and they were particularly long. How long were they? So, 11 amos. So they were 11 amos long. Okay, hard to imagine. Meaning, I'm sure, but hard to imagine. 11 amas long. We're talking about an arava that's about 22 feet long. Again, approximate, just to help us visualize. Kidei shehigochos al hamizbeach, so that they lean over the mizbeach ama by one ama. So in other words, so you lean them against the mizbeach by one ama, and so therefore they were 11 amas long. Okay. I don't have a marker here. Okay, we'll just do this. I'll explain this to you outside. It'd be better if I give you a visual. The Gemara is going to be bothered by the following, right? The triangle is basically comprised of three sides. So let's assume a right angle. So obviously there's a hypotenuse running along the triangle. We all understand the relationship between the two sides and the hypotenuse. That's Pythagorean. That's a squared b plus b squared equals c squared. The problem is that we are now leaning the arava against the mizbeach, and we're saying that the arava was 11 amas high, so that it would extend one ama above the top of the mizbeach. The problem is that the aravas were not set at a vertical, but rather the aravas were set at an incline. Why? In other words, they didn't go straight up, perpendicular to the ground, but it went at an incline. Why did it go on an incline? Because the Gemara is about to explain to us. We know we've seen this already a number of times throughout Shas. Is that the way the Mizbech is constructed, it's not just simply one straight wall going up, but rather it was one amma up, one amma in. Five ammas up, one amma in. Three ammas up. So basically, from the bottom to the top, you do not draw a straight line, but rather it's hypotenuse. The hypotenuse obviously is longer than the straight line going up, and so therefore you're going to need more. So it can't be that this 11 amma arava is going to be leaned against the Mizbeach, so it's not perpendicular, it's now on a hypotenuse, and it can't be one amma above the top of the Mizbeach. Can't be. So how is that going to work? So, Amar Mereimar Mishum Bar Zertro, so the Gemara is going to explain this. Amar Mereimar Mishum Bar Zertro, Shema Minal Yesod Manach Lahu. The solution is that it's not placed on the ground. It's placed on the Yesod, meaning that first layer up is that one amma up, and one amma in. So it's placed on the yesod, not on the ground. So it's one amma above ground level. So then he does the math for us. It can't be on the ground because mechti. Because the Gemara says, let's see how this would work. Allah amma vekanasama. The yesod. So the first layer of the mizbeach is the yesod, one amma up, one amma in. Allah chamish vekanasama. Five ammas up and then one amma in. Zehu soved. That's the next part of the mizbeach. That's called the soved. Allah shalosh. Now it goes up another three, and then it goes in. Zehu makom hakranos. So that would be where the kranos, the corners of the mizbeach, are placed. Gochos agab izmech, echem ishkachala. It can't be then leaning over the mizbeach an additional amma. Allah shma minah. A yesod manach lehu. So therefore it's placed on the yesod, so that even with a hypotenuse and even with an incline, it's still going to go over the amma by over the top of the mizbech by one amma. Shma mina. Okay. The long Rashi over here on the side goes through all the configuration and all the numbers of the mizbech. We're gonna move on. Amar Rabbi Abba, my crush and Amar. Where's the pasuk? Meaning, where do we get this from? This idea that we're taking the arava and we're leaning on the mizbeach. Meaning, again, the whole idea of arava is that it's not mentioned in the Torah, and it's halacha l'moshe misina. But just this idea, why are we so bent on this idea that the arava has to be up against the mizbeach, leaning over the mizbeach, a full arm over the mizbeach? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim. I'm sure we're all familiar with the pasuk. Isu chag ba'avosim ad karnosa mizbeach. So the pasuk says, you ask anybody, I mean anybody, you know, what does this pasuk mean? It's such a difficult pasuk to translate, just a simple pshat in the pasuk. So the Gemara over here darshins, isur chag ba'avosim, you bind. The word isur means forbidden, but it also means to be bound together, right? Matir asurim, he unties the bound. So isur chag ba'avosim, you bind on chag here, a reference to sukkos, ba'avosim, that which is avos. Ad karnos mizbeach, all the way to the corners of the mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Abahu, sorry, before I run ahead. So you see from this pasuk that there's a connection between the arava and the mizbeach, and furthermore you see that the arava should be going all the way up to the top of the mizbeach. Ad karnos mizbeach. And I guess the ad over here means ad va'ad bechlal. Okay. So the Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Elazar, called Noto Lula Biguda Vahadus Bavosu Mala Lavakasuv Ki Ilu Bana Mizbeach Vehikr Vlav Karban. You're taking a lulav and the aravas and the sukkah and the sukkah and the esrog and the hadassim, and you put them all together and you take them all. So it's ki'ilu, it says, if you built the mizbeach and you offered karbonos on the mizbeach, shenemar, pasuk says, yisru chag b'avosim ad karnas ha-mizbeach. Okay, and again, we quote this pasuk. It's another drasha that we derive from this pasuk, that it's ki'ilu, is if I take the avos, if I take that which is braided together, plaited together. Remember, that's how the Torah described the hadassim. Anaf eitz avos. So you take the avos, and obviously you're taking the avos complementary with the other three of the minim, and you put them all together. It's ke'ilu, you built the mizbeach. This does remind me, we talked about this earlier, right? The mitzvah haba ba'avera discussion that we had in the beginning of the third perek, where the Gemara says, and when it comes to the lulav that's stolen, I can't use it because of mitzvah haba ba'avera. And then we noted, it's strange that the Gemara, when talking about stolen sukkah, doesn't breathe a word about mitzvah haba ba'avera, and why? And why not? Why by stolen sukkah doesn't the Gemara just simply present it's an issue because of mitzvah haba ba'avera? So I quoted the Ritva. The Ritva back in the third parak says, well, because when it comes to the lulav, I'm sorry, when it comes to the whole concept of mitzvah haba ba'avera, that only is relative to karbon. Right, if you remember the pasuk that we quoted by mitzvah haba ba'avera, that the pasuk in Malachi was relative to karbon. So anything that has to do with karbon is considered, is subject to the disqualification of mitzvah haba ba'avera. But anything that's not connected to karbon is not necessarily connected to mitzvah haba ba'avera. That was the Ritva back in the third parak. So over here, just seeing the Gemara over here connecting the lulav and the hadassim and the aravos and the esrog to the mizbeach, and it's ki'ilu, you're a makar of a karbon, so it reminds me of this Ritva. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Mishum Rav Shimon Bayochav, Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon HaMechuzi, Mishum Rav Yochanan HaMakusi, Kol HaOse Isor Lechag, Be'achila V'shtia. If you connect, again the word Isor over here means to tie, to bind. If you connect to Yontiv, eating and drinking, Ma'ala Alav HaKasav Ki'ilu Bana Mizbeach V'hikar V'alav Karbon. So it's, again, in lieu of the fact that we don't have a Mizbeach, it's like you built a Mizbeach. Shenem Reisor Chag Be'avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. Another drasha that we arrive out of this pasuk in Halal. Rashi does say, I'll just show you a Rashi. Rashi does say over here, achila v'shtia. So the simple pshat of the Gemara is, you're eating on Yontif. Right? Yontif, you make good food, you eat it on Yontif, good. That's the way of honoring Yontif, and it's as if you built the Mizbeach and offered on the Mizbeach. And then Rashi says, yesh omrim, it's the fourth line in Rashi, yom shala achar achag. Actually, Rashi says, you know what we're talking about over here? We're not talking about on Yontif itself, presumably because, of course, they're eating on Yontif, meaning that's the definition of Yontif. But rather, what we're talking about is the day after Yontif. The day after Yontif, so there also you should make it a quasi-festive day. Okay, we have a term, you heard it, I'm sure, after Yontif, right? Right after Chazar Shashatz, so they yell the Chaz and Isruchag. Okay, the person yelling probably doesn't know why he's yelling it. He just knows that we're not saying Tachanun today, so he's excited. So but he's yelling Isru Chag. So what is Isru Chag? So it's based on this Gemara, and not just this Gemara, but specifically this Rashi, where Rashi says that the possibility is that the Isru mentioned over here, we're binding together, not just binding food to Yontif, but we're binding the day following Yontif to Yontif itself. So it's like a quasi Yontif status. Amar Chizkia, Amar Reb Yirmiyah Mishum Rashbi. One Memhem with Beis. We're about 6 lines from the top of the Amud. Kol haMitzvos Kulanin Adam Yotzei Bahem Ela Derech Gedela Son. The only way you fulfill the mitzvah is only if you take them the way they grow. Now we've already talked about this idea earlier. We talked about how to properly make a bracha on the lulav. You want to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah, but not too early. You want to make the bracha you don't want to make the bracha after you fulfill the mitzvah. So one of Tosus' suggestion was, and many people do this, I'd say most people do this, is that when they pick up the esrog, they make sure to pick it up upside down, together with the lulav and the hadassim and the ravas on the right hand. You make the bracha, and then you flip the esrog over. So why? So it's based on this Gemara right over here, that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalaminim, you have to hold them the way they grow, in the correct direction. Shenemar, Atzei Shitim Omdim, Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara quotes a Bryson, supports this as well. Atzei Shitim Omdim, Sha'omdim Derech Gedei Lasan. You got to hold them the way they grow. Davar Acher, another understanding, Omdim Shema Amidim Itzipuyav. Now this is in reference to the Atzei Shittim Omdim. We're talking about the big cedar wood that is used as walls around the Mishkan. Now they're wood, and yet they're plated with gold, and they're able to hold the gold up. Davar Acher Omdim, Shematom Ravat Sivaram Vato Sikuyam. We no longer have the Mishkan, so where are they? So you might have thought we've given up hope. Tamalamra Atzei Shittim Omdim, Shomdim La'olam, Ule'omei Olamim. They're always standing. We may not know where they are, but they're always there, and don't give up hope. So now, as long as we're quoting statements made by Chizkiah in the name of Yirmiyah, in the name of the Rashbi, so the Gemara now is going to go off topic. The Gemara is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, and this obviously will be interesting. I can exempt the entire world from judgment, meaning based on my zchuyos, from the time that the world was created until this very moment. From the time that I was created until this very moment. V'omale Eliezer b'ni, imi. Now, the Rashbi says, take me and take my son. And let's put the two of us together. So we can provide zchuyos for the world from the time the world was created till this very day. Now take the king Yosam and put him together with us. So Yosam was obviously a very righteous king. So we can, the three of us together, can take with our zechuyos, can provide merit for the world from the time of its creation until its end. So the Rashbi says, look, I've seen Bnei Aliyah. Bnei Aliyah, a reference to people who are spiritually rising, right? They literally, they go up, right? Special people. And there are not that many of them. Let's say there's 1,000, me and my son are amongst them. If let's say there's 100, so you can include me and my son. And if there's only 2, so then it's me and my son. Okay, I understand how does this work with the idea of being modest and the idea of being self-effacing. Okay, it's a reasonable question. But umi zutre kolehai. So the Gemara says, really, the numbers are that small. There are 18,000, literally rows. I'm going to call them people, but 18,000 that are in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have this grouping of special people, right, an elite force of spiritual warriors who we refer to as the Bnei Aliyah. So the Rashbi entertained that maybe there's 1,000, maybe, but no more. Then the Gemara is challenging because it sounds like we have 18,000. Shenamar, and first of all, how do we arrive at that number? The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel, Saviv Shmon Esay Aleph. So the Gemara says, okay, quoting the pasuk in Yechezkel, so 18,000. So we're going to make some sort of distinction to the best of our understanding of the Bnei Aliyah, who at most is 1,000, although the Rashbi said it may be the number may be as small as 2, versus what Yechezkel was describing as people that are in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning have nevuah, have some sort of understanding or clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo kashya hada mistakle ba aspaklaria hamiira, and hada lo mistakle ba aspaklaria hamiira. So we're talking about the clarity of vision. So the Bnei Aliyah that's being described by the Rashbi, they have clarity of vision. What the Gemara refers to as aspaklaria hamiira. But then the 18,000 that we mentioned earlier, yes, they're good, but not as elite. Aspaklaria she'ein hamiira, not a clear vision. The Gemara says, now the Gemara quotes Abaye, lo pachos hama, mitalsin v'shisa tzadika, demekabla apashchina, bechol yom. There are a minimum of 36 tzadikim who are in front of the Shechina, who have a divine sense of Shechina every day. Shenemar, ashri kochoche lo. Praiseworthy is the one who is reliant upon him. And the low, the lamed vav begamashrias, totem v'shisa dehavu. So that's 36. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're bothered by the following. With the numbers that we gave that have clarity, so we described as being maybe 1,000. Now what we're saying is that there are people who only have the people of clarity, only the 36, Alam Vav Sadiqim. So the Gemara makes a distinction. Those who go in bibar and those who do go in without bar, or are able to go in without bar. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, what does the word bar mean in this context? It's a one word Rashi. Bibar, Rashi says, birishas. Meaning, there are a group of elite spiritual warriors who can go in, but they need permission to do so. Meaning, they can't go in whenever they want. They can't have a vision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu whenever they want. They need permission. And then there are those special people who don't need permission, who have access at any point in time, can go in at any point in time. And that's a reference to the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. It is a bit problematic, meaning the Gemara over here is describing people who have Aspaklaria HaMe'ira, who have a clear vision, who can go in without permission. In other words, it sounds like they're like Moshe. The problem is that the Gemara elsewhere says is that, and the Rambam writes this as one of the basic tenets of our faith, is that no Navi was like Moshe. I mean, we had plenty of Navim after Moshe, but no one arrived at the level of Moshe. So over here we're describing 36 Tzadikim who have Aspaklaria Me'ira, who can go in whenever they want, who can have a vision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu whenever they want. So it is a little bit challenging. I saw Rabbi Kornfeld discuss this a little bit on his notes. He quoted the Marasha. So anyways, so take a look at the Marasha, who's definitely who raises this issue. Okay. Bishah Petir Asan Mahin Omrim. When they left the Mizbeach, so we learned that back in the Mishnah, we saw this yesterday, I reviewed it at the beginning of this morning, so they said praises to the Mizbeach. So that's fine. And the problem is that we had that Rebbe Lazar says La Hashem Ulecha Mizbeach. So Rebbe Lazar, his opinion is that we made a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says V'haka Mishtatef Shem Shemayim V'davar Acher. But that's no good. That's unacceptable because you're taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu together and you're placing him with something else. This is what's called Shituf. Shituf means making some sort of hybrid deity. Meaning recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the God, a monotheistic ideal, but attaching something to it. And that's Shituf, and the Gemara says you can't do that. Kol Mishatev V'Tanya, we learned in a Braitha. Kol Mishatev Sheshamayim V'Davar Acher Ne'akar Min HaOlam. You're uprooted from the world. Shenem Rabilti L'Hashem Levado. You can't attach anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hachikamar. So the Gemara says, this is what is meant. Now, meaning, I'm not sure what the Gemara is doing right now. We're rewording the statement of Rebbe Lazar, or we're just interpreting the statement of Rebbe Lazar. I'm not sure, but either way, La Hashem Anachnu Modim, Ulecha Anu Mishabchen. We're going to have to break it up. Meaning, we don't put the two in the same phrase. To you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we bow, comma, hard comma, let's say semicolon, and to you we praise the Mizbech. Okay, so basically we're going to have to break it up so that we're not putting Kadosh Baruch Hu together with something else. This Gemara is extremely important. I'm not going to go there, but I'm just going to raise it. This is a Gemara that's been extremely important. The Rishonim had a major discussion and debate whether or not Christianity is considered Avodah Zarah. It's not considered Avodah Zarah. So they do believe in a monotheism, but There's something connected to it. So is that enough of a distortion in order to deem it and to judge it as idolatry? So a lot of that discussion is based on this very small piece of Gemara right over here, where the Gemara says that you're mishatev, that you join something together with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's no good. Nekar min ha'olam. So the Rishonim who debate, again, I'm not reinventing the wheel, but the Rishonim who debate it. So this is one of the main gemaras that touch on that issue. Kema'asehu b'chol. Back to our gemara. The gemara now turns to the practice of Rav Yochanan ben Broka. In the Mishnah, we saw that Rav Yochanan ben Broka, in addition to the aravos, he would also bring palm branches into the mizbech as well. Why? So the gemara that's the gemara's question. I'm Ravuna Maitam to Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Dechsev kaposh nayim. The Torah, when the Torah introduces us to the palm tree, it says kapos. So much like we said by the Arve Nachal, Arve is plural, kapos is also plural. Achas lulav, achas l'mizbeach, one for the lulav, one for the mizbeach. V'rabbana amrei, and the chachamim say, no, what are you doing? Kapos, ksiv. It doesn't, the Torah doesn't spell with a vav. Yeah, we pronounce it kapos, but the ksiv, the way it's spelled is, in the singular, without the vav. So therefore, it's one. Rabbi Levi Amar Kitamar. Rabbi Levi gives a different understanding of Rav Yochanan ben Broka, meaning it's not based on the spelling and the pronunciation of the word kapos, but rather, why is it that, according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, we bring a palm frond into the Mizbeach? So Rabbi Levi Amar Kitamar. Basically, it's symbolic. It's a message. And what is the message? Ma tamar ze ein lo ela leve chad af Yisrael ein lahem ela leve chad la avim sheva shemayim. You know, there's only one heart of palm, and similarly, there's only one heart of Jew, meaning that we are unified with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel lulav Shiva. Okay, period. Yeah, period. Okay, Adkan. That ends the discussion of the Mishnah. We basically now went through most every segment of the Mishnah. We didn't touch on that last part of the Mishnah about the grabbing of the esrogim out of the children's hands. Either the end of today's daf or the beginning of tomorrow's daf, we're going to talk about that. Good. Now we can put like a break in the Gemara, and let's introduce this next topic. Next topic is going to have a lot of practical relevance to all of us, and the next topic that we're going to be discussing really for the remainder of today's daf is going to be bracha. We know that on Sukkot we have an opportunity to fulfill mitzvos. Lulav, when I say lulav, I mean the dalaminim, the mitzvah of Sukkah. So there's a number of mitzvos that can be accomplished and fulfilled. And so the basic issue is bracha. At what point in time do we make a bracha? Any time that we fulfill a mitzvah in the Torah, or if for that matter we fulfill a mitzvah in the Rabbanon, we make a bracha. So the question on hand is, when are we going to making a bracha on the lulav, and when are we going to make a bracha on the Sukkah? And not only the question is when, but how often, how frequently are we going to be making brachas on lulav and sukkah? The Gemara will be a little bit, it's not a complex Gemara, but it will be a little bit confusing because the Gemara is going to throw out a bunch of opinions in terms of the frequency of brachas that should be made over the course of sukkah. So, I'm going to go through the Gemara a little too quickly, but that's the nature of daf. But hopefully we'll be able to walk away with some conclusion in terms of what should be the normative practice. I'm going to really focus on the svaras, on the arguments that are given in terms of the numerous opinions. Okay, we're on Mem Hamad Beis. We're approaching today's daf. We are in the bottom, towards the bottom of the Amud, and we're starting with the words Amar of Yehuda. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara first starts off by quoting Shmuel. Rav Yehuda is quoting Shmuel. Lulav Shiva v'sukkah yom echad. Okay, lulav 7 days, sukkah 1 day. He's not telling us how many days to fulfill the mitzvah. We know what the numbers are. Lulav is 7 days, sukkah 7 days. What he's telling us is, how often do we make a bracha? So as far as the lulav is concerned, we make a bracha on the lulav all 7 days. In terms of the sukkah, we only make a bracha on the sukkah 1 day. My time, lulav de mepaske leilos miyamim kol yuma mitzvah ba'pe nafshehu. Sukkah de lo mepaske leilos miyamim kulu shiva kechad yuma richadamu. So the argument of Shmuel goes like this. You see, lulav, the mitzvah is only during the day. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta. There's no mitzvah of lulav at night. So therefore, the 7 days of sukkahs are really 7 unique, independent days from one another, broken up by the intervening nights. So therefore, when you wake up on the next morning of sukkahs, you've got to make a new bracha on the lulav. Right, it's like a refresh. Every night it's like hitting the refresh button. So now you have to make a new bracha. But when it comes to sukkah, so the mitzvah of sukkah is for 7 days, but there's no break. At nighttime, you sleep in the sukkah. You wake up in the morning, you eat in the sukkah. In other words, there's no break from the sukkah. It is a constant obligation upon us. You make the bracha on the first day, and that'll take care of you for the rest of the 7 days. Good. That's the opinion of Shmuel. Rabba bar bar chana amar Rav Yochanan. Then the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan. Sukkah shiva v'lulav yom echad. Just the opposite. Sukkah, you make a bracha all 7 days. Lulav, you only make a bracha 1 day. My taima, sukkah daraisa shiva, lulav derabban. I'm sorry. Sukkah shiva daraisa shiva, lulav derabban. And sakale bechad yume. Okay, very simple. Because the mitzvah of sukkah is all 7 days minat Torah. The Torah tells us to sit in a sukkah all 7 days. As far as lulav is concerned, 1 day. Yes, we take the lulav for the remaining 6 days of sukkahs. That's true, but we do so because of a takana of rabbinic institution, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, that we saw at the end of the third parak. But that's not a mitzvah min haTorah. The bracha that we make is only going to be on a mitzvah min haTorah, not a mitzvah derabanan. Now it's interesting, is Rabbi Bar Chanan, when he quotes Rav Yochanan, is saying this as a generality, that we in general don't make brachas on derabbanans? Or he's saying it's specific to lulav? That you could argue, you could debate. But vis-a-vis lulav, however, day one is daraisa, the remaining days is derabbanan, we only make a bracha on day one. Now Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he quotes Rav Yochanan, and his quotation, his citation of Rav Yochanan is slightly different. Echad zeh ve'echad zeh, shiva. I make a bracha on lulav all 7 days. I make a bracha on sukkah all 7 days. So it's obviously a different quote of Rav Yochanan, not like that of Rabbi Bar Chanan. I'm Rav Yosef, nekod de Rabbi Bar Chanan bi'adecha. So Rav Yosef says, you know which position I would take? I would take Rav Yochanan as quoted by Rabbi Bar Chanan, meaning the distinction between Daraisa versus Derabbanan. Why? Dekul Amarai kame kavase besukkah. Because all the Amarayim hold like him regarding sukkah. Meaning all the Amarayim that he knows holds like Rav Yochanan, that vis-a-vis sukkah, you should be making a bracha all 7 days. Now, is Rav Yosef also saying that the lulav should only be made one day, because that is what Rabbi Bar Chanan said in the name of Rav Yochanan? That's not clear. Okay, fine. Let's pause. Next problem. Meisvei. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. But by the way, before I go on, Rashi notes that whenever there's a debate between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel, meaning we know the Gemara says that there's a debate between Rav Yochanan and Rav, the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan. But here the Gemara quotes when the... wait, am I right? Rav Yochanan, Rav... I'm not totally sure about that. I'm going to put that in reserve. But Rashi points out that he has a tradition that if there's a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel, so the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan trumps Shmuel. Okay. As is evidence from this Gemara over here. Anyway, Meisvei, the Gemara now challenges based on a Braisa. Ha'ose lulav la'atzmo. When you make your lulav, what does that mean, make your lulav? You're not making anything. But obviously, ose over here means you're putting it together, you're tying it together, you're bundling it together, you're preparing it. So the bracha, you make your shechianu, v'kimanu v'gyanu z'manazeh, you make a shechianu. Okay? And it sounds a simple pshat in the Gemara is we're making the bracha before yantav, meaning just on the asiyah, just on putting it together, you make a shechianu. Not lo latzezbo. Now you're taking in order to fulfill your obligation. So you made the bracha you make is shekri shem and savas ibanu al netilas lulav. So the bracha you make is the bracha netilas lulav. V'alfa pisha bircha lav yom rishon chozer mevarech kol shiva. Now even though you made a bracha on day one, you continue to make a bracha all 7 days. Ha'ose sukkah. Now before we go on in the braisa. Okay, so what do the braisa say when it comes to lulav? You make a bracha all 7 days. That's difficult for Rav Yochanan, as quoted by Rabbi Bar Chanan. Right? Rav Yochanan said in the name Rabbi Bar Chanan said in the name of Rav Yochanan that for sukkah you make a bracha all 7 days, but for lulav only day one. Why? Because lulav is the subsequent days are derabbanan. This braisa that we're quoting right now is obviously difficult for Rav Yochanan. Okay, but let's, before answering the question, finishing the braisa, ha'osa sukkah la'atzmo omer bruch shechianu v'kimanu. When you make the sukkah, you make a bracha of shechianu. And then, nichnas le'shev ba, and then when you go into sitting in the sukkah, omer, asher kishem imsav tzivan le'shev basukkah. So you make a bracha of le'shev as you sit in the sukkah. V'kem shabirach yom rishon, shuv eino mevarech. And once you go in and make the bracha on day one, you no longer need to make a bracha. Okay, so right now I'm obviously using this out of context, but it's like double jeopardy for Rav Yochanan. Meaning Rav Yochanan now is beaten on both of his points. Not beaten, but challenged on both of his points. On the point that he made that on lulav you only make a bracha one day, the braisa says, no, you make a bracha all 7 days. On the point that he made that sukkah you make a bracha all 7 days, so the braisa says, no, you only make a bracha on sukkah day one. So it's challenging to Rav Yochanan on both of his points. So the Gemara answers like this. Lulav alulav kashya sukkah sukkah. I'm sorry. Shavein mavarach. Kashya lulav alulav kashya sukkah sukkah. It's a double challenge. Bisham alulav alulav lo kashya kan bizman. Shebesa mikdash kayim kan bizman. Shein besa mikdash kayim. So as far as a lulav is concerned, we can easily sidestep that issue. It's not such a challenge because we could simply say that Rav Yochanan is describing nowadays without a base of mikdash. Lulav outside the base of mikdash is only a mitzvah as midrabanan. That's why you don't make a bracha on the subsequent days. Good. That's what we're going to do with. That's what we're going to do with Rav Yochanan against the Brisa vis-a-vis lulav. What about sukkah? Ela sukkah asuka kasha. But what are you going to do with the sukkah? That's obviously difficult for Rav Yochanan. The Brisa clearly is challenging his position. Tanahi. So the Gemara doesn't have any fancy, elegant way of getting out of the problem. So the Gemara says, you're right. This brisa is difficult for Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan has another brisa that backs him up. Detani will enter a brisa. Tefillin calls manshem nicher mevarach aleim divrei Rabbi. Tefillin. Every time you put the tefillin on, you're going to make a new bracha. Chachamim omrim ainu mevarach el shachris bavad. And the chachamim say no. You only make a bracha on the tefillin in the morning, and that's it. So itmar Abai Amar Hilchasa Karabi. Abai says Allah is like Rabbi, and Rav Amar Hilchasa Karabban, and the Rav says Allah is like the Chachamim. Amar of Mari Barad de Bashmuel, Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, is in other words, the grandson of Shmuel. His father's name is not mentioned. I think on another occasion we discussed why that should be, but anyway, Chazina Leila Rav de Lo Avikishmaite. I see that Rav is inconsistent. Now, I'm saying inconsistent just from a perception standpoint. Right? This is not, God forbid, this is not a judgmental issue. I just see that it's inconsistent. Meaning, Elamakten v'kaiva ala besakise. What happens is he would wake up in the morning, he would go to the bathroom, v'nafik, he would leave a mashiyade, he would wash his hands, umanach tefillin umavarech. He would then put on his tefillin and would make a brach on the tefillin. Fine. V'chiyitzrech zim nachrina. Now, if he needs to go to the bathroom again in the same day, Ayla Basic Kisa Benafik, he would go to the bathroom, would come out, Mashe Yadei would wash his hands, Umanach Tfilin Mavarech, and he would make Tfilin, he would make a Brach on Tfilin again. So, in other words, let's just, the flow chart, Rebbe and the Chachamim arguing whether or not you should make multiple Brachas on Tfilin in one given day. Rebbe says, yes, you should. Rebbe, the Chachamim says, no, you shouldn't. Abai and Rava seem to be taking sides on the issue. Abai goes like Rebbe, Rava goes like the Chachamim. But meanwhile, we're actually watching Rava and we're seeing, no, Rava would make multiple brachas on tefillin every day. So, va'ananami k'Rebbe Avdina. And we too fall like Rebbe. And by the way, the Gemara doesn't say this, but you'll just simply have to say this, that Rava had chazara, meaning had charata. He retracted his original position, even though he stated that the halachas follows like the chachamim. So what you're going to have to say is that he retracted, and that he follows the position of Rebbe. And the Gemara notes, and we do the same thing as well. Va'ananami k'Rebbe Avdina n'mavarchin kol shiva, and therefore we make a bracha all 7 days. Amar Mar Zutra. Okay, let's put a period over here. Let's just go back for just a moment. Okay. Okay, as far as making a bracha is concerned on the sukkah, so you have your pick. We have positions in the Gemara. Rav Yochanan says that you only make a bracha once, and that's it. You have the position mentioned and Ravin quotes Rav Yochanan saying that you should make a bracha all 7 days. The Gemara quotes Shmuel, who also says that you should make a bracha on sukkah all 7 days. And based on what the Gemara just concluded, you should be making a bracha on sukkah all 7 days. We know that to be so. Just to further discuss this just a little bit more, with a little bit more detail, go back to Mem Hei Amud Beis and look at the last Tosos on the Amud. Tosos notes, sukkah and lulav are not exactly the same. Meaning the conclusion is, and we all knew the conclusion, because we're practicing, but the conclusion is that we make a bracha on lulav all 7 days and on sukkah all 7 days. Right? That's even though the Gemara threw out a number of suggestions and a number of permutations, but we know that's a conclusion. Good. Tosfos points out in the previous Amud, they're not the same. Meaning, even though the conclusion is you do both for all 7 days, they're not the same. What's the difference? Ein sukkah v'lulav shavin. Look at that last Tosfos on the bottom of Mem Hamad Beis. They're not the same. Labracha. Da lulav ein mevarech al hapam achas bayom. Because with lulav, you're maxing out once a day. You're not going to be making a bracha on lulav again in one given day. That's not true regarding sukkah. Ava sukkah kol emas denechnas la kedei sheyocha v'yishte v'yishan afilu eser pa'amim b'yom. But when it comes to sukkah, could very well be that in one given day of sukkahs, meaning aside from the Gemara's conclusion that you're making a bracha every day of sukkahs about the mitzvah of sukkah, you're going to be making a bracha every single time. Mivarcha akol achas v'achas midida havei atfilin. Tosfos says, how do I know that? Based on the Gemara that we just concluded on the middle Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Meaning the Gemara just said, what's the comparison? What's a fair comparison? The mitzvah of sukkah to the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, the Gemara just concluded that when it comes to tefillin, so if I need to go to the bathroom and I come out of the bathroom, I'm going to be making a bracha on tefillin again. So Tosfos says, same thing with sukkah. I leave the sukkah, I go back into the sukkah, in one given day, I'll be making the bracha on sukkah again. And Tosfos says, why is it a fair comparison? Because look, I ate in the sukkah, okay, now I leave the sukkah. Okay, now I want to eat again. You have to go back to the sukkah. You can't eat outside the sukkah. The new eating is going to require you to go back into the sukkah. And the same thing is true with tefillin. Meaning the mitzvah is there the whole time, the whole day. So if I'm taking it off and I have to take it off and I want to put it back on again, I've got to make a new bracha. Aval lulav ein ikar mitzvasa ela pam achas bayom. But with the lulav, we can literally say he's discharging his obligation. Right? It's a gun. It's not the best comparison, but you understand. It's a gun. In other words, you just simply need to fire it off once and that's it. So, kedamrina midag benafik bay. Tosfos quotes the Gemara that we did a couple days ago. You pick it up, you fulfill your obligation, that's it. You're discharged. You're done. So there's a, even though the conclusion of the Gemara is sukkah and lulav are all 7 days, but they're not the same. Lulav once a day, no more. Sukkah, minimum of once a day, and potentially a lot more. Just one more point of detail to discuss, so the Gemara doesn't discuss this. When exactly do you make the bracha of Leishev Basukkah? Is an interesting machlokas. So the Rambam says, you make the bracha when you walk into the sukkah. Right? The moment, in other words, don't wait till you sit down, don't wait till you start eating, don't wait till you make, in other words, what we practice, what we practically do. So the Rambam says, no. The Rambam says, the moment you walk into that sukkah. In fact, the Rambam says, you know what? Make it before you sit down. Right? The Rambam Shita is very, very easy to understand. The bracha is leishev basukkah. Usually, when do you make a bracha? Over la'asiyasan, before you do the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is yeshiva basukkah, based on the bracha. So therefore, I come into the sukkah, I say, asher k'dishayim mitzvah v'siman leishev basukkah, and then you go sit down. Okay, that's the shita of the Rambam. The Ravid actually over there disagrees with the Rambam. And what do we do? I mean, and when I say we, I mean this is globally accepted. The Shulchan Aruch takes down this position. We follow that of the Rush. The Rush says no. What we should do is that we should make the bracha right before we eat. So therefore, whatever food which requires us to sin a sukkah, bread mizonos. So what we should do is that we should. Right, sit down with the food, make the bracha on the food, and then, right, even before putting the food in our mouth, asher k'dishayim mitzvah v'sivan leishev basukkah. So we don't make the bracha like the Rambam suggests as you walk into the sukkah, but rather as you sit down and as you eat. Yeah?
Let's say you want to go in and just learn.
Right, correct. Okay, that's.
Is that what you're saying?
First of all, I'm just introducing us. You're confusing me with the rabbi, which is I understand. I totally understand the confusion. Don't make that mistake. I'm just introducing us to the machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush, and I'm telling us that the Shulchan Aruch adopts the opinion of the Rush in terms of further discussion and further. Right, that you ask your rabbi, but I'm just saying I'm just giving a little more detail. It's fine. I should have just stuck with the Gemara and not. But okay, good. In other words, just it's an interesting discussion of the difference between lulav and sukkah that we saw in Tosfos, and even within sukkah, when exactly to make the bracha. Yeah, and you only do right. You only do bamotzi.
Right.
Okay. Fine. Huh? He said only a motzi, not a mezonos. No, in other words, Tosfos doesn't say. Tosfos just simply says he goes out. Presumably, Tosfos means because you're done, meaning you're. In other words, correct. In other words, you're going into the house because you want to get food and you come back in. I can't imagine that's considered leaving the sukkah. No, but that's why the Gemara's example is very clear. Taking tefillin off to go to the bathroom, which is a place you can't bring your tefillin in. So in other words, you know at that point in time, for the time being, I'm done. Okay? All right. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara. Yeah. He discusses that, right? You may not fall asleep. Is it right? Who does he quote? That's No, he's bringing up a discussion, meaning we know we make a bracha before we eat in the sukkah. How about, in other words, you're ready to tuck yourself in at night. The mitzvah is to sleep in the sukkah. I know it's very hard, it's very difficult. But you tuck yourself in the sukkah, so shouldn't you make a bracha before going to bed? Lay shape a sukkah. So he quotes, who does he quote?
He's still living.
Is that the quotes of Mordechai? Okay. Anyway, the Rishonim, right, for my lack of better knowledge, the Rishonim discussed how come we don't make a bracha before we go to bed. So some of the Rishonim argue, the part of the argument is you may not fall asleep. So, in other words, your intent is here I am now, ready to fulfill the mitzvah, I'm going to get a good night's sleep in. The birds chirping, the frogs are croaking. Yeah, it's not, yeah, right, correct. It's just not going to happen.
So maybe the first day, the second day, but the third day.
Right. Eventually. Amar Marzutra Chazina Leila Rav Papi Dechol Emas Damanach Tefillah Mevarech Mevarech. Okay, we're back in the Gemara. We were on the discussion of Tefillah, so the Gemara is just going to give us a couple more anecdotes regarding various Amoraim who did this. Made a bracha every time they put the Tefillah on. Marzutra Chazina Leila Rav Papi Dechol Emas Damanach Tefillah Mevarech Mevarech. So he would, right, correct. Every time we would put tefillin anew, he would make a new bracha. Rabbanan de Rav Ashi, klaimat de mishamshi behu mevarchei. So the rabbis of Rav Ashi's yeshiva, so they would be mishamish tefillin, right? Rashi over here quotes a Gemara Yuma that we learned, remember, not that long ago. You got to touch, manipulate. In other words, your mind's got to be on the tefillin, and so that physically you should manipulate tefillin every now and then. It helps that the tefillin always goes askew, and you always have to reposition it, but that's good. In other words, your mind should be on the tefillin. We talked about this recently, this idea of shmira, that you always have to be in constant awareness that you're wearing tefillin. If you don't have Shmuel, mitzvah lulav kol shiva Rav Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Yom Rishon. Back to the discussion of lulav, how often should you be making a bracha on lulav? So once again, we're revisiting this discussion, and we're reopening the discussion whether or not you should be making the bracha just the first day or all 7 days. Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, sorry, let me do this in order. Rav Yehuda Mashmol says that the mitzvah of lulav is all 7 days, meaning the bracha should be said all 7 days. Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, Yom Rishon, no, only day one. Mitzvah lulav, mikan ve'elach mitzvah zekenim. After that, it's the mitzvah of the zekenim, of the elders, meaning it's the derabanan. Don't make a bracha on it after the first day. Rav Yitzchak Amar, call yuma mitzvah zekenim. I'm sorry, call mitzvah yuma zekenim. So Rav Yitzchak says, what do you mean? Every day is a derabanan. To which the Gemara balks. The Gemara says, what? So v'afilu yom rishon v'akaimel and yom rishon daraisa. That's not true. The first day is daraisa. So ema barmi yom rishon. Let's modify our understanding of Rav Yitzchak, except for the first day. Of course, that's what I meant. So Yachi Haina to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, okay. But that just means then that Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yeshua ben Levi are saying the same thing. Ema v'chein amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Good. The Gemara says that's exactly what's meant. He's saying the same thing as Rav Yeshua ben Levi. V'av Rav Zavar kol shiva mitzvah lulav. And Rav is of the opinion that you make a bracha all 7 days. Okay, so he inputs and he tells us that he too agrees with Shmuel that you make a bracha on the lulav all 7 days. So the Gemara now turns to another discussion, which is the mitzvah of Chanukah. Now Chanukah is a din derabanan. And we make a bracha, so it shows us that I make a bracha on a derabanan. It certainly sounds like from the Gemara, I know I asked this question earlier this morning, that really the issue over here that the Gemara is really touching on and what the Gemara is debating is, do we make a bracha on derabanans? Meaning it sounds like from the Gemara that, at least according to some Amoraim, we don't. Okay. So, Amalek Ner Shel Chanukah Tzarech Levarech. Rav Yirmiyah Amar Ro Ner Shel Chanukah Tzarech Levarech. If you see Neris Chanukah, you make a bracha. My Mevarech, and this all should sound familiar, we saw this in the Gemara Shabbos, let's say a year ago, more already, okay, much more than a year ago. My Mevarech, Amar Rav Yehuda, Yom Rishon, Amalek Mevarech Shol, Sharoa Mevarech Shtayim. If you have the good fortune of lighting menorah, Neris Chanukah, so you should be making on the first night three brachas. The Roeh, the person who unfortunately does not have the privilege of lighting, and all he's doing is just seeing, so he's going to be making two brachas. Mikan ve'elech after day one, madlik mevarech shtayim, v'ro mevarech achas. If you're lighting, so you're going to make two brachas. If you are just seeing, you're going to make one bracha. Umay mevarech, what brachas do we make? Asher kishan mitzav zivan ladlik ner Chanukah. So one bracha that we make is, he commanded us to light Chanukah. You commanded us. So you commanded us, meaning even though it's a rabbinic mitzvah, but they're invested with the power of the Torah to tell us what to do. So either it's derived from the pasuk of Lo Sasur, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Shal Avicha V'Yagedcha, or it's derived from the end of Sefer Devarim. Either way, they're invested to tell us what to do. My Mamayidzman, what bracha gets cut off from the day one, from the first day to the subsequent days. I know the Gemara over here is in the parentheses, but anyway, just read it. Ema Mamay Ne, I'm sorry, Mamayidzman. Ema Mamay Neis, maybe it's the Neis, it's the Shas Anisim. Neis Kol Yuma Isay, the Gemara says no, because every day of Hanukkah was a miracle. We're not taking out the Neis bracha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masnile Beheja, Ama Rav Kol Shiva Mitzvahs Lulav. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says we don't have to imply. He says it. You make a bracha on the lulav all 7 days. Tanu Rabbanan. Ha'osa sukkah la'atzma omar brach shechiyanu. You make the sukkah, you make a shechiyanu. Nichnas le'shev ba omar brach shechiyanu mitzvav zivan le'shev ba sukkah. Ha'isa asuya va'omeres. Let's say you have a self-standing sukkah. Right? Well, this goes back to the beginning of the Masechta. Remember Daf Tes? We talked about whether or not there's a requirement to make a sukkah lishma. So it happens to be that we're of the opinion, no, you don't. But it was Machlokes, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, back on Daf Tes, we take the position of Beis Hillel, you don't have to make a sukkah lishma. You can have your sukkah already standing and ready. So I say sukkah v'almeres, im yachol l'charish ba'am mevarech, davar mevarech, im lav l'cheshiyich nas l'shev ba'am mevarech shtayim. So if you can make a new adjustment and a new takana to your sukkah, so that'll allow you to make a brach of shechiyanu when you make it. If, however, you're stuck, so then you're going to simply, you'll make the shechiyanu on sukkah itself. Amar Ravashi, chazinu l'Rav Kahana, t'kamer lu l'kula, kasa de kedusha. And then Ravashi says that, I see that what the chachamim do is they delay the shechiyanu bracha, not at the completion of the sukkah, but rather at kiddush, where at kiddush you're going to make a bracha, both Leishev Sukkah and also Shechiyanu.
The thing is, the completion of Sukkah takes place before Sukkah starts. So how do they make it
relevant? That's an excellent question. I have a prepared answer, but it's going to take too long. I don't have time. Okay, I'll share with you later, offline. Okay. Okay. Let's just do one more piece, and we'll stop for today. Tanu Rabbanan, how you lefan of mitzvos harbei. Let's say you have a bunch of mitzvos that you need to do. So Omer Bracha Shekisham Sevitzivan Olam Mitzvos. Okay, so make a very generic bracha. Here I am, I'm about to do a lot of mitzvos. To which you probably would guess the Gemara says, nah. Rav Yehuda Omer Mevarecha Kol Achas Va'achas Vifnei Atzma. No, don't do that. Don't bundle mitzvos together. And don't make one generic bracha. So Amar Rabbi Zer Vitim Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Hilchusa Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. V'amar Rabbi Zera v'tem Rav Chanin bar Papa my time is Rabbi Yehuda. And why should that be? Dichsi Baruch Hashem Yom Yom V'chi B'yom Mevarchin Oso V'layla Ein Mevarchin Oso. What do you mean? We praise God during the day. We don't praise God at night. That doesn't make sense. Ela ba lomar lacha b'chol yom v'yom tein lo me'ein birchosav. So every day is a new day. You make new brachos. Meaning, just because I made brachos yesterday doesn't exempt me from today. Hachanami b'chol davar v'davar tein lo me'ein birchosav. So just like we compartmentalize every day, so too you should compartmentalize every mitzvah. Every mitzvah should require its own bracha. Okay. We'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow at the very bottom of the Amud, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to start catching up.